Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Modern Day Debate. Very excited for this epic debate tonight. Want to let you know, if it's your first time here to Modern Day Debate, we host debates on science, religion, and politics. So a smorgasbord of topics. And if you enjoy controversial, juicy topics like this and many others, consider hitting that subscribe button, as we have many more to come. In fact, as you'll see at the bottom right of your screen, folks, if you have not heard, we are thrilled about this Kickstarter that we have just launched yesterday. Basically, this is potentially, and this is if the Kickstarter actually fully funds, it's no risk to you. So it's $3 to watch the debate live, and that's to cover the honorariums of the speakers. Anything extra that we have come in will be used for future debates. So want to let you know, no risk to you in that if the debate doesn't happen, the money goes back to everybody, 100% of it. And so highly encourage you to check that out. Pledge at that Kickstarter account or campaign, which is linked in the description, so that we can make that epic debate with Dr. Michael Shermer and inspiring philosophy happen. So also want to let you know a couple other housekeeping type things. First, I want to say thanks so much to Steve McRae. You all know him. He's an equal opportunity fellow. He equally offends everyone. We really do appreciate that Steve helped us connect with Trevor Vail, Dr. Trevor Vail, I should say. And so we're thrilled to have Trevor Vail with us tonight, as well as our other guest, Alex. They are both linked in the description, folks. In fact, I'm going to throw Steve McRae's link down there as well, as we appreciate Steve's help. And want to let you know, last night, very embarrassing, folks, very embarrassing, our Matt Dillahunty debate with Stuart Nettle has been rescheduled. So if you were there, you saw that flop. Our connection was pretty bad. So we are going to have that debate. It's going to be in the next week. And so with that, very excited for tonight's debate. Here's how it's going to work format-wise. We are going to start with Dr. Trevor Vail, who will have his opening statement. He can use as many as 10 to 12 minutes. That's up to him. Then we'll have that same opening from Alex Stein, same in length. So it could be 1 minute up to 10 to 12 minutes, and then open conversation followed by Q&A. So if you happen to have a question, feel free to fire it into the old live chat. If you tag me with @ModernDayDebate, it makes it easier for me to get every question in that list. So thanks so much. We are going to kick it over. Well, first let me just say, we are thrilled again. Thank you so much, Alex and Dr. Trevor Vail, for being here. It's a true pleasure to have you guys.
Thank you. And it's Valley, and I'm not a doctor, just a master.
You got it. Thank you very much. My mistake on that. And okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your peacefulness and flexibility. And Alex, you as well. Thanks so much for being here.
I took one semester of pre-med, so I prefer to be called doctor. If you don't mind, call me Dr. Stein the rest of the debate, if you can
we'll
do that.
We'll see if we can swing that. It's like
thank you.
Your father, Kent Hovind. We will kick it off with Alex Stein with his opening. I'm sorry about that. Trevor, we're going first with his opening. The floor is all yours.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Trevor Valley. I'm the paleontologist, so you can probably figure out what side of this debate, quote unquote debate, I'm on. I've been a paleontologist for more than a decade. I was a field biologist before that. I've excavated fossils in 25 to 30 different fossil localities across 4 different countries. Been on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, Nat Geo, Science Channel, a few other things. I don't have a YouTube channel to monetize like Alex does, but you can find me on Twitter at Tattoos and Bones. Topic is, you know, dinosaurs don't exist. Well, that's straight off the bat bullshit. My opponent, Alex, if you saw the last debate, he likes to steal bullshit talking points from other completely ignorant grifters like Eric Dubay, who get everything wrong. And he'll tell you that all the fossils in museums are fake and dinosaurs weren't discovered until after the word dinosaur was created. And then it was all a conspiracy to quote unquote make money. But what dime store Alex Jones won't tell you is that fossils were documented by Greeks in the 5th and 6th centuries BCE. Also by Augustine in the 5th century CE. And, he would know that if he actually read Ancient Fossil Discoveries and Interpretations by Adrian Meyer in the Oxford Handbooks of Animals and Classical Thought. He won't tell you that Chinese dragon fossils, which were dinosaurs, were discussed in Western Jin Dynasty around 265 of the Common Era. Won't tell you that Ibn Sina, a Persian naturalist, in 1027 discovered and discussed fossils and fossilization. Won't talk about the 1676 Megalosaurus femur that Robert Plott discovered. He thought it was part of a Roman war elephant or maybe even a biblical giant. He won't talk about Edward Lild's 1699 sauropod tooth. Won't discuss Cuvier, the father of paleontology, who unfortunately was a horrible racist piece of shit and a creationist, that in the 1790s, he discussed fossils and natural geology. Christopher Pegg talked about a Megalosaurus jaw in 1797. John Kidd had Megalosaurus fragments in 1815. William Buckland discussed the Megalosaurus between 1815 and 1824, named it in 1822. The Mantell family discovered the Iguanodon in 1822. Paleontology was coined in 1822. Mary Anning found pterosaurs, ichthyosaurs, and all that in the mid-1800s, I think around 1828 or 1830. The Ogallala Lakota Nation found fossils in the 1830s. William Benstead had an Iguanodon that was discovered in 1834. But he will tell you about the 1858 Hadrosaur discovery that he throws out about Leedy, the anatomist, and Folk, the geologist, and Hopkins, who was a miner and had absolutely no idea what he found. But he won't tell you that they were actually discovered 20 years earlier in 1838. And he says one bone was found when actually it was 8 teeth, part of other dental battery fragments, parts of the, upper left jaw, 16 parts of the spine, part of the right shoulder, upper and lower left arm, left and right parts, the pubis and the hips, the left leg with the femur, tibia, and fibula intact, foot bones, and the toe. Sir Richard Owen, the old world creationist and anti-Darwinian evolutionist, actually coined the dinosauria taxon, and taxon and taxonomy, another term that Alex doesn't know. He coined that term in 1841 and then discarded them, the Iguanodon, the Megalosaurus, etc., as big lizards. He derided the Mantell family that found them, and he actually coined the term dinosauria to take the credit. And he even mentioned in his pre-show about Edward Drinker Cope and Othniel Marsh, who were students of Leedy, and, you know, how they were fighting during the Bone Wars. Yeah, he'll talk about that, but he won't talk about that dinosaurs are found on every single continent. Natural history museums are some of the least funded museums in the world. But he will say that the fossils are fake, that their replicas are casts. But the problem is replica or cast doesn't mean fake. It means copy. And copies require an original. For example, Sue, the Tyrannosaur in the Field Museum, that mount is 90% fossil. The only things that aren't are a few vertebra, bits of the rib cage, the arm, the left foot, and the skull, because the original skull weighs over 600 pounds and it's on display near the mount. So they had to make a replica, a copy of that in order to mount it. He also won't talk about famous fossils that weren't found by paleontologists, completely destroying his argument, part of the quote-unquote museum industrial complex, such as a T-Rex relative discovered by a seven-year-old, a horned dinosaur discovered by a nuclear physicist, the dueling dinosaurs, an incredibly famous set of skeletons, including a completely 100% intact T-Rex that was found by a rancher, the Alberta mummified ankylosaur that was found by miners. Let's see. There's Leonardo the duckbill, who was found by an outdoorsman. Oh, yeah. And hey, Alex is in Dallas. The nodosaur found in Texas that was found by a five-year-old. None of these people are professional paleontologists. Yet, supposedly, it's this grand conspiracy that we're all in it to make money. Sure. But the thing is, he says dinosaurs are fake. Well, what about all the other fossils not in the Mesozoic, such as during the Cambrian period or during the Ice Age, like this woolly mammoth tooth right here that I personally pulled out of an ice cave in Siberia? What about those fossils? Why aren't they also fake? Oh, just dinosaurs. Right. The thing is, it's a completely made up controversy. And Alex embraces that because he won't tell you that he has zero actual knowledge or experience in the topic, zero actual knowledge of the scientific process, zero knowledge about anything functional in the topic. He won't tell you that he's a trust fund baby. He's a failed stand-up comic. He's a failed wannabe television personality and a celebrity hobnobber, failed Instagram influencer. And he started this YouTube channel, the Conspiracy Castle thing, because he was bored during the COVID epidemic. He trolls and manufactures controversy for notoriety, like the whole eye mask for COVID masks things. Come on, man. He accepts donations and money to do this on the YouTube channel, because his YouTube channel is for entertainment purposes only, not for information. What are you up to tonight? What, $71 so far? He calls for a respectful debate, yet mocks and derides me and the entire topic during his pre-show. Alex is a disingenuous lying fraud. He reduces actual scientific literacy and overall trust of actual experts. And he's embracing this new wave idiocy of dinosaur denial that was started virally with the group Christians Against Dinosaurs. Now, he said in his pre-show that I would say he's part of that group. He's not, but he's riding their coattails. That group was a hoax group created in 2015 by people that were connected to Landover Baptist parody site. It went viral with a host of satire videos. I turned around and debunked them in the following February because they did some fake Photoshop protest photos. Yeah, the whole idea of this started gaining traction about 2006, 2008. A little bit of the parody started with the Christians for Michelle Bachmann group on Facebook in 2014, and that birthed the Christians Against Dinosaurs faux movement. And unfortunately, satire and parody like that, whilst funny, encourages jackass grifters like Alex to latch onto that invented controversy and try and monetize it. So, Alex, what you don't realize is that the entire point of science is fuck around and find out. Well, you did, and you're about to. So here's the thing, you wish.com version of Logan Paul. You have two options: either concede the argument, apologize for grifting, and disconnect from this stream, or go ahead and rage quit and claim you had a connection issue or something, because you have no point. You have no real argument. You are only doing this in order to gain followers on YouTube. And quite honestly, it's kind of a waste of time.
Thanks so much. We will kick it over to Alex for his opening as well. And I've got the timer set for you. The floor is all yours.
So I just want to start off by saying thank you very much. I really appreciate that introduction. I think that was very well spoken, and I think you have done your research on me. I really appreciate that. And I know you ended your thing with a bunch of personal insults, but I don't want to get on the personal insult thing because I understand that you've been a paleontologist for over 10 years. And you've studied this stuff. And so me calling out all the fraud in paleontology, like the disinformation that has gone out and all of the fraud that paleontology is based on, it hurts your feelings to hear that. And so I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but basically I just want to start with the whole dinosaur scam. Like you said, it basically goes back to Marsh and Cope. So you have this guy, O.C. Marsh, and you have this guy, Drinker Cope. And basically what they did is they learned about dinosaurs from this guy named Joseph Leidy. And Joseph Leidy was their mentor. And Cope and Marsh did so much paleontological fraud, I don't even know if that's the right word, that their mentor, Joseph Leidy, actually ended up quitting paleontology. So you got a guy, I'm arguing with a guy that wasn't even the founder of paleontology, Trevor Valley, yet the guy that even founded it quit because the people that he taught paleontology to, O.C. Marsh and Drinker Cope, were such frauds that their dinosaurs in museums to this day are still a lie. Up until 2015, the Brontosaurus, which is misclassified by Marsh and Cope, they both classified it as different species of dinosaurs, was still in museums up until 2015. So that gives you a little feeling in my stomach that they are using this fraud, these lies of dinosaur bones, and putting in museums to make money. So you can call me a grifter to try to make money. You do the same thing. You say that these dinosaur bones are millions of years old, yet you don't even know how to properly carbon date them, or the radiometric dating process is so inaccurate. They can take lava that has just came out of a volcano and hardened and measure that, and it dates millions of years old. So the technology they're using to date these dinosaur bones is provably false and unreliable. So I agree. There are reptiles. There are Komodo dragons. There are big animals. We have elephants. We have giraffes. And they were around a long time ago, thousands of years ago. And those animals died and sediment went on top of them. But that doesn't make them 65 million years old. Now, for my first example, I want to talk about the coelacanth fish. The coelacanth fish is a fish that was supposedly 65 million years old. This fish was supposedly extinct. That's right. They had the fossil record of the coelacanth fish. Look this up. C-O-E-L-O-C-A-N-T-H-E. I can't even spell it, but it's a coelacanth fish. And basically, they ended up finding the fish. And they say that this fish is 65 million years old. Well, the problem is that fish forgot to evolve like everything else. So you have to realize the reason why they lie and they tell you that these bones that are in our generational life with humans, the reason why they say that they are dinosaurs is because they have to fill in the holes of the evolutionary fraud. They have to date the Earth and make it seem that it's much older than it really is. So these dinosaurs are a cute little way to make money and to lie to us and take away our significance. Now, I know that sounds conspiratorial, but I'm telling you, when you look at the foundation that paleontology was built on, it was built on absolute fraud. So if you build a house on a foundation like that, then the house is going to collapse and the whole industry is bullcrap. And then you look at a girl like Mary Schweitzer, who found a dinosaur that had soft tissue still. If something's 65 million years old, how can a dinosaur bone have soft tissue? It can't, because these paleontologists, they can't figure out how old these rocks are. They don't know. They tell you like they know. And that's my problem. My problem starts with guys finding the Trachodon. They found a tooth and they extrapolated a whole entire dinosaur. Now, I'm not saying there aren't big lizards, but how can you take a tooth and tell me how big its penis is or how many eyes it has? You can't. And all the dinosaurs in the museums are fake, and they have to piece them together with other dinosaurs. So they are a fraud. You can't take what you see in the museum as reality, and they present it as real. So that's my problem. My problem is the fraud that dinosaurs are presented as a matter of fact, yet they have fish, coelacanth fish, that they say are dinosaurs that are here today. We don't even have every single species of animal found here on Earth right now. Yet they tell you that they were able to find dinosaurs while they were fighting as they were dying. They got hit with an asteroid and died. Yeah, right. That's the biggest lie I've ever seen in my life. Yet they want to perpetrate that because that's how they age the Earth. They want to tell you that dinosaurs are real when they're not. Yes, we have some old bones, but they're not a T-Rex. A T-Rex isn't anatomically correct. You can look, there's only 15 T-Rexes ever even found. That's not enough for you to tell me that that's the reason why fossil fuels exist. So the fossil fuel lie was created by the Rockefellers at the Geneva Convention in order to make a scarcity, a false scarcity. So dinosaurs are like that. It's another manipulation tactic by the social engineers. And you have guys that are paleontologists. Yeah, there's old rocks, but you're looking at an old rock and you're dating an old rock with inaccurate dating machinery. So you don't know how old it is. And the reason why that I'm actually really personally touched by this topic there, Trevor, is here in Texas, there's a place, Dinosaur Valley Park. And the reason why Dinosaur Valley Park is, interesting because it's in Glen Rose, Texas. And basically, a little bit about Dinosaur Valley Park. In Glen Rose, there was a family in 1908 that would sell dinosaur fossils. And they actually thought there was all these dinosaurs there. But it ended up finding out that they were carving these rocks and selling them. And these people were moonshiners. So when you look at the basis of the foundation of paleontology, it's always been a carnival scam. Even Barnum Brown, one of the main guys to start paleontology, was named after P.T. Barnum, the circus MC. So I'm telling you guys, these are fraud. These are grifters. There's reason. These are the real grifters. There's reasons it's always kids that find these she cells because they tell, oh, hey, kid, go dig over there. It's just like the Addams family in Glen Rose, Texas. It is all bull crap. They cannot date these animals. And these animals, these big prehistoric animals, aren't even correct in the museum. You can look up the Brontosaurus. A Brontosaurus isn't even real, yet it was on display up until 2015 as a real dinosaur. So if you're telling me this paleontology is so freaking smart that they can't even put the right dinosaurs on display, something's wrong. And that's the problem, is it's rife with fraud. And I don't want to get personal. I'm not going to get personal, Trevor, because I'm not going to stoop to your level. But you say that you've been on all these TV shows. That's exactly what it is. Dinosaurs are all TV. It's all creative. It's all make-believe. These people take one tooth and they extrapolate an entire dinosaur. And you say that all these replicas were made by originals. That's false. They made unoriginals to add to real dinosaur bones before they ever made a replica. And that is a fact. So I'm just telling you, the Hadrosaurus folk lie, that is a lie. All these dinosaurs that are put on display, like the Brontosaurus or the Hadrosaurus folk lie, these aren't real dinosaurs. And they're all misdiagnosed by Marsh & Co., who all they did was cheat and steal. Their entire business was a fraud. They wrote all these intense papers stating all these dinosaurs. They found thousands of dinosaurs. Yet at the end of the day, paleontologists only recognize 32 of those dinosaurs today. So when the founders, the majority of the dinosaurs that the founders of paleontology found were fake or were fraud or were inaccurate, that makes you go, huh, what's the deal with these dinosaurs? And I'm telling you, the
2-minute warning.
The deal is they're made with chicken bones in China. You can look into it. There is a good video on YouTube, Dinosaur Bones Made in China? You'll see it. It's an RT video. It'll show you how they make them. And all these dinosaurs are behind lock and key. I just have to take your word for it. Yeah, you might dig up an old bone, but that doesn't mean that it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's the problem. My problem is with the extrapolation process. When China puts out dinosaurs that have freaking feathers, and then these dinosaurs are different, then the founders themselves, Marsh and Cope, can't even agree on these dinosaurs, then it's all a fraud. And the extrapolation process is so inaccurate. You can't find one femur and tell me how big an animal's genitals are. It's absolutely absurd. So with that, I don't want to get personal, Trevor. I enjoy you. I think you're a nice guy. And I'm sorry that your paleontology and your whole career is a fraud. I'm sorry about that.
We're going to kick it into the open conversation mode. As you can tell, these guys aren't friends. But what we're going to do is we want to ask, we're going to maybe start with 3-minute intervals just to be sure that this is somewhat controlled chaos. So we do want to ask for this first 3 minutes or so, Alex, I want to just ask that you not interrupt at all. Give Trevor a chance to kind of share his initial thoughts. If you want to do longer intervals than that, guys, we can do that. But the big goal for me is I don't want people interrupting. So I do want you guys to have a chance to actually say what you want to say. So we'll kick it over to Trevor for the open conversation. floor is all yours.
Oh, sorry. I was on D&D Beyond making up a new character. Let's see. Alex, you're wrong. Lady quit because of the sniping and uncharacteristic aspects of his students, and that he couldn't secure the funding to continue his research. Two, you don't carbon date dinosaurs.
Radiometric date. Excuse me, sir.
Don't interrupt. You don't carbon date. You radiometric date them, and you state that that doesn't work and that it's a fraud. Which one's a fraud? Is it the uranium lead dating, the potassium argon dating, the rubium strontium dating, the lead lead dating? Which one is it? Also, you mentioned Brontosaurus for some reason. Obviously, you, since you're not a paleontologist and you actually haven't done any research on the topic, you don't realize that Brontosaurus is actually a valid taxon as of 2015. You mentioned the coelacanth, one, that's not a dinosaur, that's a fish. And two, it's a Lazarus taxon. You don't know what that means. That means family members of that same animal were alive during the time of the dinosaurs, just like turtles and fish, birds, things like that, primates, or in this case, mammals, actually, not primates. They came later. You said there's only 32 recognized dinosaurs. There's actually 300 genera and 700 different species. You bring up Mary Schweitzer and soft tissue. You didn't read the paper because you don't realize that the soft tissue was found after weeks of demineralization. Demineralization, Alex, is when you take a hardened dinosaur bone. This one happened to be a T-Rex bone that was sliced into very thin sections and then soaked in a weak acid for weeks. And that what was found, the soft tissue, was actually small nanometer sized chunks of collagen and stuff like that, that were completely encased by the surrounding, you know, the surrounding fossilized material. What a lot of the creationists and young earth creationists say, that whose argument you're riding the coattails on and using to commit your fraud, is that they think that you crack open the bone and goo comes out. That's not what happens. You talked about Trachodon and how it was a tooth. Yeah, you know how they decided what kind of dinosaur that was? Because they compared it to other dinosaurs. In this case, they thought it was a hadrosaur. It actually turns out to be a lambrosaurine. You mentioned the Paloxy Trackways in Glen Rhodes, Texas, and how dinosaur fraud, and they were selling fraudulent fossils and trackways and all that. The Adams family were devout creationists doing this fraud. So it wasn't scientists that were doing this. It was young earth creationists that were. So far, you've actually said nothing of any statement that was even remote to true. It just shows you have a comprehensive misunderstanding of the entire science. And everything I said before, other than the dime store Alex Jones and the wish.com Logan Paul, weren't personal insults. They were facts. That's why you give out your Conspiracy Castle Instagram and not your Primetime Stein Instagram, showing you as everything that I said. So again, you can either concede the argument and apologize and go off and try and monetize your YouTube channel, or you can rage quit. That's the only two choices you have.
No, I'm not going to quit. So is it my time to talk?
Yeah, go ahead. That was 3.5 minutes. We'll give you the same, Alex.
So basically it comes down to, I'm sorry that the people that create dinosaur fraud, I guess they're the bad fraud people. So the people that Marsh and Koch, when they created dinosaur fraud, they're the good fraudulent dinosaur people. But the thing is, what I said is about there's only Marsh and Koch, only out of the thousands of dinosaur bones they found, only 32 of those were recognized. So Marsh and Koch are only responsible for 32 recognized dinosaurs, is what I said. But the coelacanth fish, that's the one that's interesting, because yet we have the fossilized bones of it that they say are 65 million years old. But why would that fish forget to evolve? Everything else evolved, but yet that fish didn't. So the coelacanth right there just shows that the dating and that the scientists that you say is so accurate is inaccurate, and they make mistakes. And now we can go back to the soft tissue. You say, oh, the mineralization. Well, 65 million years old turns everything else into rock, but you're telling me it can't turn blood into rock? I'm sure that's a cute story, but I'm just not going to believe it. So obviously I'm not going to convince you of my side and you're not going to convince me of your side, but you, the fact that you can't admit the dinosaur and paleontology is basically built on a fraud by OC freaking Marsh and Drinker Coke, then I don't know where, you know, where we can really go. I'm going to stay here and talk to you as long as you want. But what I'm saying is the foundation and the extrapolation process of dinosaurs and use that we still use today, that are in still museums today, were built by fraudulent liars that had ulterior motives in the bone wars than actual science. So when you look back at everything they did, it was a bullcrap. So you can tell me all this new stuff, but all the new data that you find, like the Archaeoraptor that was fake, that the Chinese put out, that was a real dinosaur. That was real scientists that did that. There was real scientists putting out fake dinosaurs. And they said that this is a transitional species. That's the problem. There is no transitional species with any of these dinosaurs. So it's just provably false. And the fact that we can find them so easy, we can go to Dinosaur Valley State Park and just dig them up. Yet you say that all these ancient civilizations knew about these dinosaurs. That's incorrect. They didn't have the idea of big T-Rexes. Maybe the China dragon, and maybe there were some sort of dragons. But the T-Rex that you described today is fake. In the extrapolation process that paleontologists use to create these dinosaurs that they've never seen, they've never seen these dinosaurs. They don't know the color of its skin. They don't know the body temperature of it. They don't know its diet. Yet they tell you that they can look at a dinosaur and tell you if it ate meat or if it ate freaking vegetables. It's just bull crap. And I get that that's, you know, hard for me to hear, but you can personally attack me all you want. I'm not trying to personally attack you, Trevor. I'm just saying the dinosaur museum, the dinosaur industrial complex is a fraud. They make money. They use it because it's open source. Anybody can throw a dinosaur on a t-shirt and say Dino Life. And that's the reason why the Dino Life is a fraud. And I hope you guys do go follow my Primetime Stein Instagram and Conspiracy Castle Instagram.
Thanks so much. We'll kick it back to Trevor.
Let's see. Archaeoraptor was not created by scientists in China. It was actually two different dinosaurs stuck together, and it was being sold by a fraudulent gem dealer in Tucson, Arizona. The coelacanth, even though what you're trying to do is deflect and bring this onto an evolution topic, and I'm not going to let you, just to kill the whole coelacanth thing, since you have a gross misunderstanding intentionally, because you're trying to continue this character of yours, this weird stand-up act that you're doing right now. Coelacanths actually have been in the same roundabout same. There are physiological differences in all the different genera for about 400 million years, not just 65. And the thing is, the coelacanths that are alive today are evolved forms of the ones that are extinct. See, that's how evolution works. But we won't get into that. That's for a different debate with somebody else that has more time. Let's see. You keep on bringing up Cope and Marsh. And see, I have gotten their names wrong before when I was drunk. But it's Othniel Marsh and Edward Drinker Cope.
I said O.C. Marsh.
Yeah, but it's Othniel. It's a weird name. I know you kind of screw everybody screws it up. I called him Ogden. But they were going at it because not out of fame, and while that was part of it, it got blown out of proportion because they were trying to dig in the same places. What you should do is read a great book called The Bone Wars. If you're honestly interested in this topic, rather than just doing a cursory Wikipedia run and writing down weird things that you can bleed about like a stuck pig. You're completely ignorant of the topic, man. And I know this is like your character and it's kind of like this cool edgy thing that you're doing, but you are personally insulting me because you're calling a hard natural science a fraud. Therefore, you're calling me a fraud, even though you don't have the balls to say it directly.
I have the balls to say it. I just don't want to call you a fraud. I don't want to be rude. I'm not trying to be rude, Trevor.
Sorry, but you are trying to be rude.
I'm not. I'm trying to be nice.
I want to give him a chance to finish. We're only about 2.5 minutes in.
But the thing is, Alex, you are being rude. You're just doing it in an offhanded way. You're doing it in kind of this side-loading aspect of it. You won't directly say I'm a fraud, but you'll say that my science and my research is fraudulent. You'll take decades of, you know, my own research plus hundreds of years of other people's research, thousands of years of even more people's research, and throw it under the bus, and you'll only stick to dinos. Again, you won't, I mean, yes, this topic is dinosaurs are extinct, but the dino deniers, all of you caricatures, don't bother to go after all the other fossils because you know it's all bullshit. You know what you're saying is bullshit. You're just trying to be this wannabe edgelord, man. I mean, come on. You failed your saving throw and died a tragic death due to embarrassment. Just give it up, bud. You're fucking spare parts.
We'll kick it over to Alex for about 3 minutes.
Well, like you, Trevor, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I want to be nice to you. I understand you're a paleontologist, but I'm telling you guys, I've looked into Martian cope, and the basis of the dinosaurs they put in the museum are a fraud. There was dinosaurs, there was museums presented as real in museums, and they weren't accurate. So when I'm telling you the foundational issues with the dino lie is my problem. Yes, I get it. You find some old lizard bones. But when you're putting these things on display in museums and they're provably false, and even people within the own paleontology world have to correct this, then there's problems, because there is no – it's the prisoners are running the prison when it comes to paleontology. There's nobody there to fact check these dinos. I can't independently do any research on my own and go look at these dinosaurs. You can say, oh, yes, you can. But that's not the case. You know that these are all under lock and key. And so when you go to these museums, these natural history museums, and they present you misinformation, it makes me go, huh, how smart are these people when there are dinosaurs that are on display that are incorrect or that have wrong parts? So for me, it's hard for me not to see that that is some sort of manipulation. Now, you can call me an edgelord. I'm not trying to be an edgelord. I'm just telling you that the lies in the way dinosaurs are presented is factually inaccurate. And so, you know, you're going to tell me that every single paleontologist and thousands of years of science makes everything absolutely correct. That's not the case, because there's people in new science and new findings that happen every day that change the old rules and theories of science. So you're going to tell me that there aren't breakthroughs and that science isn't constantly changing? It doesn't matter about the thousands of years before. So like I say, I'm not embarrassed to come here and tell you that the people that started your whole business, paleontology, that you even admitted they were in it for fame, were fraudulent. So these dinosaur bones are not from a T-Rex or a Brontosaurus or Hadrosaurus folkli, or whatever taxon or name or whatever they want to give it. It's just inaccurate because the extrapolation process is insane. You cannot look at a femur bone and tell you every single thing about a dinosaur. It's insane. You're telling me I'm the one that's a liar? You're literally looking at bones and you're creating this guy over my shoulder. It makes no sense. You have to have so much creative license. You have to fill in the holes. So my problem is not with the bones you find. It's the holes you fill in. And it's the presentation of these holes are so provably false that it makes it look like a scam. And so when you go to the Natural History of Museum and they have a dinosaur and it's mislabeled and it's there up until the 90s, it's all a scam because it's constant. There's nobody to enforce it and keep it credible. So at that moment, it has no integrity. The dinosaur industrial complex has no integrity whatsoever.
You done yelling? Cool. You keep bringing up Hadrosaur foci and how it was like a leg. I already told you it was teeth, spine, legs, arms, pelvis, a whole bunch of different things, and a whole bunch of other fossils of that same type of Hadrosaur have been found all over the place. You say science is constantly changing. Well, guess what? All the mistakes that people like Cope and Marsh made about misidentifying things or calling, you know, one dinosaur something else, like, oh, it's a Brontosaurus. Well, no, it's actually an Apatosaurus. Well, no, it actually turns out to be three different kinds of Brontosaurus. That's called science. That's called progression. That's what we do. Science is constantly changing. We fix the old mistakes. Paleontology, formal paleontology, and for some reason you keep saying that Cope and Marsh were the founders. They weren't. there were people doing this, like Mary Anning and the Mantels and Cuvier and all these, and William Buckland of all people, doing it well before Cope and Marsh. Cope and Marsh are just famous because they were the North American paleontologists that found a whole bunch of dinosaurs. And you're wrong on the 32. I think it was Cope found 56 and Marsh found 80, I think. So you're wrong on those numbers as well. See, that's the thing. You're working from like partial information. That's why you can't be taken seriously, dude. This entire character that you're trying and like throwing out there in like the dinosaur industrial, come on. I mean, yeah, okay, it was funny for a little while, but this is what happens when you start mouthing off. People like me who are actual experts come in and we intellectually beat you down like the child you are. You're being ridiculous, and this continued caricature of what you're doing is stupid. So again, concede the argument and apologize, or rage quit. You have two options.
I'm not going to quit. You can keep saying that. Listen, this isn't, you can keep saying I'm playing a character, but you keep on talking about me. Why can't you just admit there's a fraud and that you want to get mad at me for exposing all the lies about the soft tissue lies, about the Archaeoraptor being multiple dinosaurs presented as a transitional species. You want to get mad at me, but I'm not the one that committed all this fraud. I'm just the one that exposing it. So you can say, you can attack my personality. I don't want to attack your personality. I just wish you would actually stick to the argument, but you can't. You just keep on telling me I'm a liar, but you don't even sound very accurate or very scientific, to be honest. So, you know, we're just going to sit here and we can just proverbially go back and forth. I love it. I do enjoy the spar. If you want to talk about my character, I'll sit here all night and go back and forth with you. But I'm telling you, there is so much fraud going on in paleontology that you can't defend it. So you have to you have to come after me, which is fine because you know that it's based on a fraud. So all you can do, all you can do is come after my character because you can't defend all the fraudulent stuff like the Archaeoraptor or the soft tissue or the inaccurate dating process that you use for these dinosaurs. You're coming after me because everything you do in your paleontology world is a lie in creative make-believe. And my problem is not with the dinosaur bones. My problem, Trevor, is with the extrapolation process. The reason you guys take a bone and all of a sudden you create every single other part of the dinosaur. That's factually insane. So you can you can call my character all you want, but you can't defend your arguments.
Well, here's the thing. I already completely defended those arguments and refuted yours. I told you about the dinosaur soft tissue and what it actually is. I asked you directly which radiometric dating is fraudulent. Was it uranium, lead, potassium, argon, lead, rubium, strontium? Which one is it? You don't have an answer. Also, you keep talking about all of this fraud. Well, they're like Archaeoraptor. I already covered that. It was two different dinosaurs put together and then sold by an unscrupulous dealer in Tucson. See, I've already answered all of these and you keep going back to them like some kind of stupid broken record. You've already been refuted and debunked. And the whole thing is, who found all of that fraud? Paleontologists did. Scientists did. People like you didn't. These bullshit caricatures of conspiracy people did not find this fraud. Science did, because that's science's job. Again, science is the basis of fuck around and find out. And we do all the time. We figure out, oh shit, Brontosaurus isn't real. It's actually Apatosaurus. Oh, nope, that's wrong too, because we're constantly doing the research. That's what you don't understand. That's why you didn't know that Brontosaurus was actually three different species that are closely related to Apatosaurus, and that Brontosaurus is actually a valid taxon. You don't know any of that because you haven't bothered to do the actual research. You're just doing this to get clicks.
Well, you just look at dinosaurs for your job. And with all due respect on Joe Rogan, didn't you say you're behind on your car payment? So you're probably not making that much money doing the paleontology. You know what I mean? So you're obviously not very high in your job or high earning in your job, which is fine. But I'm just saying, the paleontology, you just admitted that it was built on a fraud, and now all these paleontologists have to correct it. So that's my problem, is the fraud. It was built on all this fraud. And I keep saying this. Explain to me. This is my question for you, Mr. Paleontologist, Mr. Super Smart Man. This is my question that I can see. How can you take one tooth or one dinosaur bone and extrapolate the entire thing and tell you what its body temperature was, what its diet was, whether it had a penis, how many nipples it had, and whether it was bipedal or walked on fours? How can you look at one bone and tell me all that? Can you explain that process for me, Mr. Paleontologist?
Sure. Number one, by the way, who's winning the bet from your pre-show? How many times was Rogan mentioned? Because I didn't mention it. You did. That's four-year-old data, by the way, that you're working with. Almost five-year-old now. So, yeah. And that's the thing. Paleontology doesn't make a lot of money. So that completely refutes your argument. But here, let me give you an example. What's this? Do you know what this is? This is a woolly mammoth tooth. How do we know that mammoths and elephants are related? Well, it's looking at analogs. It's looking at this tooth material, for example, seeing that it's in a dental battery. It's these series of tooth plates. And then if you look at Asian and African elephants, you can see that they're closely related. You can do things like look at this bone. You have no fucking concept of what this is. I do, because I have comparative anatomy that I can use. I can compare this to modern day examples. And then I can tell you that, hey, this looks a lot like a quadruped because of the width of it and because of how the proximal distal ends are. And oh, this actually turns out to be a fossil horse toe. And we can do that. So that, like you keep saying, you keep bringing up Trachodon, for example. We compared that tooth, we being paleontology, we compared that tooth to other teeth we found. And oh, look, it looks like a hadrosaur. Or now it looks like a limpiosaur. It's called comparative anatomy, where actually most of paleontology started. It didn't start with paleontologists. It started with anatomists, because they're doing things like finding stuff like proximal, or sorry, I shouldn't use technical terms with somebody like you, lower ends of femurs, of thigh bones. And they're thinking, oh, wow, that's probably from some biblical giant. Well, because it looks like the end of a femur. It looks like the end of a thigh bone. Comparative anatomy is very simple. I know this is a tooth. Why? Because it has enamel and dentin and cementum and roots and a chewing surface. It has all of those. That's why I know that that's a tooth. Trying to figure out what it's from, you then have to go through and compare. That's what science is and what paleontology does. And just because somebody got something wrong before doesn't mean it was fraud. It means we didn't know then. And here's the biggest and best question that I have for you, Alex. If they aren't dinosaurs, what are they?
You didn't answer my question, though. What are these bones that we find? They could be big lizards, Komodo dragons. So to answer your question, these are animals that there's nothing new under the sun, in my opinion. So I don't believe that these are the dinosaurs that you present. But you said comparative bone structures. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the extrapolation process. How do you get a bone, and how can you tell me from that bone what the animal's body temperature was? How could you tell me that its diet? And you're going to say the tooth cuts this way. I think you said that a tooth cuts, it's, you can tell that it's meant to cut a throat. But how can you extrapolate? How, explain that. I'm just serious. I mean this in all due respect. How do you take a dinosaur bone and then create whether it had feathers or not, whether what color its skin was? How would you know from a bone what color a dinosaur's eyeball is?
Well, it's really simple. Look at this tooth, for example. Do you see how it's flat and grindy? That means it probably ate plants. Is it sharp and pointed? Well, that means it probably ate meat. It's very simple. Have you looked at your own teeth? Have you seen that they're a mixture of both pointy shearing things and flat grindy things? It means you're an omnivore and able to eat both plants and meat. We can look and see that they had feathers because of the actual attachment points on the ulna, on the arm bones. We can see that. We can see that they're related to birds and that birds are in fact dinosaurs because of, again, comparative anatomy and why T-Rexes have keel bones and have various morphologies like the theropod or beast foot that they're named after. Looks like a big chicken. You said that they could be a big Komodo dragon. I've actually seen Komodo dragons. I studied them as a biologist. You find me a Komodo dragon that's 40 feet long and weighs about 7 tons, then you can say, oh, it was from a big lizard. Well, yes, actually, they were from big lizards. They were from very large reptiles. We call those large reptiles, as coined by Sir Richard Owen, dinosaurs or terrifying lizards. Terrifying not meaning scary, but terrifying meaning large and majestic. So what we can do is we can extrapolate that information by comparing it to other things. A saber-toothed cat, for example. We knew it had a bob tail, so we know it wouldn't run like a cheetah would, because long tails are for running, short tails are for ambush. What kind of environment did it live in? Oh, it lived in riparian forested areas all over North America, so it probably had a tawny or spotted coat, kind of like bobcats or pumas. We can use modern animals to unlock the ideas of what old ones looked like. But here's the thing, paleo artistry is a totally different thing than paleontology. We find the bones, or in some cases, mummified dinosaurs like Leonardo or the ankylosaur in Alberta. You want to know what a dinosaur looked like? You look at that one. We know how its skin was formed. We find skin impressions, scale impressions, feather impressions. There's so much to paleontology that you don't know that you're basing this character on that it's kind of laughable. I mean, all you're doing is embarrassing yourself.
No, is it my turn to talk yet?
If
my
main
question, just answer this question though.
No,
you didn't answer the question. How can you tell the color of an eye or how many eyes it has, or the color of its eye, by looking at a bone?
Oh,
because I'll tell you why. Because
how many eyes it has?
No, you compare it with a modern animal.
How many eyestalks is this?
You need modern animals for your lie. If you didn't have these animals to compare it to, you wouldn't even know what you're looking at. So you're basing all your data, you even admitted, on modern animals, proving that it's a lie. That just shows you're using modern day animals to figure out the current dinosaurs you're looking at to extrapolate this. Oh, this looks like a lizard, so that means it's 65 million years. Dude, that doesn't make it true. You're using modern animals to extrapolate these dinosaurs. You just admitted that, proving that it's a fraud. You can't look at a bone and then look at a modern day animal and to tell me exactly what that dinosaur looked like. So when you look at this paleo artistry and you go into the museums, there's so much paleo artistry that's fake, that's presented as real. That's my problem. My problem is with the fraud. And you admitted that the paleontology industry is rife with fraud. So, and you admit that they need modern animals in order to classify these old ones. It just shows you these animals aren't old, dude. It just proves you right there. They're not 65 million years old. Comparing it to a modern day animal, you need that modern day animal to be able to tell what it is. So that just shows you wouldn't even know what it was if we didn't have it. So ipso facto, you need modern day animals. These are modern day animals, bud.
That's not at all what I'm saying. And also, that's not how you use ipso facto. See, you're saying since we use modern animals to figure out what bones are what, therefore dinosaurs are modern. That's a horrible fallacy that you just did. And that's not what I said at all. We compare them. It's called comparative anatomy. So I know this is a tooth because of how it's structured, because I have looked at modern teeth. I know that this is a chewing surface because I've looked at modern teeth. That doesn't mean this is a modern animal. We look at dinosaur teeth and figure out, oh, these are formed in a dental battery and they're flat and grindy, so they're herbivores. Oh, these are very large banana-sized steak knives with serrations on them that are made to destroy flesh, so it's a meat eater. That's really simple. As it comes to eye color, that's artist interpretation. That's all that is. How many eyes does it have? We count the holes in the skull where the eyes would be. It's real simple. And how do we figure that out? Because we look at modern animals and we figure, well, if it's a reptile or a mammal and they have binocular vision, they have two eyes, just like you do, just like I do. If you look at a human skull, would you be able to figure out how many eyes it does? but interesting point on that. If you don't know what you're looking at, you kind of just figure it out. That's why mastodon fossils were thought to be cyclopses, because there's no bones in a trunk. The large nasal opening in the front, they thought was one giant eye socket. Thus, the cyclops was born, because mastodons don't have flat, grindy teeth like mammoths do. They have pointed teeth, mastodon or nipple tooth. They have crowned teeth that look a lot like human teeth. So somebody that doesn't realize what they're looking at decides, wow, this must have been a giant human with one eye. But later on, science comes along and fixes that. That's not fraud. That's just being wrong. You need there to be fraud, like some ulterior motive, for your entire narrative to work. But that's because you have a classic misunderstanding of science. Science questions itself. We figure shit out. That's what we do. We look back and go, that's not a cyclops, it's a mastodon, because we know what mastodons are now, because we found more of them. That's what you fail to realize. There isn't just one Hadrosaurus fulci. We've found a lot more since. There isn't just one Archaeopteryx. We've found a lot more since. There isn't just one feathered dinosaur. We've found a lot more since. You're trying to take 1800s science and apply it to 2020, when there's a whole bunch of shit that happened between then and now. For example, the whole brontosaurus thing in 2015, which you were blissfully unaware of.
Well, the brontosaurus is actually not a real dinosaur. And then some paleontologists in 2015 actually said now the brontosaurus is three different types of dinosaurs. So I do know a little bit about that, but I did look into that. But basically, it just comes down to what you said earlier. They tell the eyes by artist interpretation. So that's my problem, is there's too much artist interpretation. I know. But see, your whole industry is based on artist interpretation. And that's my problem. It's like watching Jurassic Park. You present these as a fact. Like, you present this T-Rex like it's a fact. And it's just not, because they have to take this artist interpretation, because they don't even know what color eyes it is. You just admitted that you can't tell me what color an animal's eyes is, and that is artist interpretation. So you're going to tell me that you can tell me every single other thing about this dinosaur, yet you can't tell me the color of its eyes? That means that everything you just said is a fraud, because you should be able to tell everything about the dinosaur, but you can't. So you don't have anything to compare it to. So you're wrong. You have to use artist interpretation to tell me the color of an eye. So that means you can't extrapolate this information from the current data set that you're using, from the bones you're using. So you have to use what is called, like you said exactly, artist interpretation. So that's my problem with the dinosaur lie, is there's too much artist interpretation. I'm not here to see an artist. I'm here to see factual stuff. I'm here to, I really want to know what the dinosaur looks like. I don't want to know what some artist interpretation is of the dinosaur. So you just admitted, you can say you won this debate, but you admit that you can't tell me what color a dinosaur's eye is, and that it's artist interpretation. So that's my problem, is that when you go to the museum, you're looking at a fraud. You're looking at too much artist interpretation. And because of that, that makes the dinosaur and paleontology world a fraud when it comes to dinosaur bones. Now, are you looking at old bones from old animals that are here today that are in our lifetime? Yes. And you say that I'm using 1800 science. So you're saying in the past 200 years, we figured out all this stuff about dinosaurs. We just got it all figured out in 200 years, even though the Earth is, 400 million years old. In the past 200 years, we figured out all the dinosaurs have us. It's just absurd. And I just have to admit, you lost the debate. You added that there's artistic interpretation, and you can't extrapolate how you take a tooth and tell me the color of its eye, proving that it's fake.
No, that's not it at all. You're having some weird, like, mental breakdown between paleo artistry and actual science. We don't care what the color of the eye is, because the color of the eye is immaterial. However, when you find skin impressions that have colored bands that have been mineralized, well, then you know what the color of the dinosaur was. Or when you find a spectral analysis of dinosaur feathers and you figure out what the color of the dinosaur was. See, those are things you don't know about. But what color the eye is, I can't tell you what color a dinosaur eye is. Therefore, paleontology is fake. How many straws are you grasping for, bud? Like, that's the most ridiculous like fake argument of this whole fake topic to begin with. I mean, that's completely asinine. Just because I can't say a Tyrannosaur's eye is brown. No, but what we can do is we can take casts of their brain cavity and tell you that their visual cortex is so large, they can see in the fucking dark and track movement like there's no tomorrow. You also bring up Jurassic Park. You realize Jurassic Park is completely lambasted by paleontological. No, you don't, because you don't know anything about paleontology. We enjoy it for the fun. And all of us go, there should be more feathers on those raptors, and those aren't velociraptors because they're too big. You have no concept of what you're speaking of, man. You have zero idea on the topic. And no, Brontosaurus wasn't fake, and then we decided to make it three different species. It was a species. Then someone said, hey, look, that looks a lot like Apatosaurus, so we should rename it Apatosaur and lump them together because they look alike. Why? Because we compared them. Oh, but then we compared all of them, every single one that's been found, and realized, no, there's actually Apatosaurs and three different species of Brontosaurus. So everything was right the first time. It's a self-checking thing. We do our own checksum. That's what science does. That's when you have something like, the theory of gravity, and then all of a sudden gravitational lensing is discovered, and then all of a sudden gravitational waves are discovered, because we're constantly finding shit. And yeah, we have found out a whole lot in the last 200 years of paleontology.
We're going to jump into the Q&A, as we do have a lot of questions that have come in. So this conversation has been a super interesting one. I am so grateful that it's gone so smoothly. And we are going to start with none other than Kakarot. Thanks for your question. Said, Trevor, would you rather debate Eric Dubay or Kent Hovind?
Neither. I've challenged Eric Dubay to countless debates, and he's always chickened out because he's a chicken shit. And Kent Hovind is just basically another gish galloping jackass like Alex here. I mean, Alex has undoubtedly seen Dwayne Gish and Kent Hovind and all that. Both of them are completely useless. Kent Hovind is just doing it to regain his, some kind of weird notoriety that he used to have. And Eric Dubay is a absolute fraud that fled the United States and moved to Thailand and is shacking up with the girlfriend of a junta general who he's all against the military industrial complex and Freemasons, even though he's from a Freemason family.
Is that true?
Different thing. What?
Trevor, I didn't know that. Wait, go back into that. Wait, tell me about Eric Dubay. I didn't know
anything. Oh, no, Eric Dubay is a complete fraud. He's also a grifter. He's like the original grifter, except he started out with Flat Earth and all that, and then he went
He's married to some military person? What is that? Wait,
his girlfriend or his wife, I'm not sure if they're married or not yet. You know how he's always like anti-government, anti-military, all that? He lives on a military base, and his girlfriend or wife is the daughter of a Thai general, part of the whole military coup thing that went on there. Yeah, and this is stuff that he doesn't want to be put out in public, but everybody knows. I'm just not afraid to say it because I got nothing to lose. But yeah, I would rather debate neither of them because it's a big fucking waste of time. I just came on this one to tell you all that it's a big fucking waste of time and that this whole dino denier bullshit is just that. It was a hoaxy bullshit that started in 2015 and now it went viral and people are running with it to make money and for notoriety. And by the way, just to really recap, there was one point I was going to make with the whole 200 years paleontology thing. We've only had powered flight since 1903 and we landed on the moon in 1969. Science can work really fucking fast when it wants to.
Gotcha. Thanks so much. So no preference then.
Don't care.
That's super interesting. Let's see.
Jackasses.
Next up, Decepticons Forever. Thanks for your question. Said CC can learn, namely Conspiracy Castle or Alex, can learn all about bones now that he can examine his very own skeleton after Trevor tore the bones out of his body, Mortal Kombat style fatality.
Finish him.
I disagree.
Next up, Rodent.
The opponent.
Rodent, last name, thank you for your question, said, Alex, did your mummy replace your cornflakes with lead paint chips? an old
I
Tommy
did eat
boy.
A little bit of lead paint as a kid. I liked Chris Farley, so he said he ate lead paint, so I tried it. Yeah, I've had lead paint as a kid.
Any Tommy Boy reference is good here. And thanks, Twood Wazzle, for your question. Said, go, Alex, let's burn all the dinosaur bones. Are you in?
Well, I don't want to burn the bones. I don't want to do that, no.
Wow, you've inspired someone. Okay, next up, thanks for your question, Eric Sinclair, who says, Alex, do you believe that intercourse leads to children, or are you a stork theorist?
Well, I mean, you can have sex and not have children, so I don't know what they're even, I mean, you can have a condom, you can have birth control, so yeah, I believe babies are made by having sex. Yeah, I mean, that's a stupid
not a one-to-one correspondence, though. And Soli Dio Gloria, thanks for your question, said, question for Alex, if you found a complete T-Rex fossil, would you want to raise a 1,000-number skull 20 feet into the air, anchored to a metal pole, knowing how rare it is? I would not. I don't understand the question.
They're saying if you found a complete skeleton or nearly complete skeleton, for example, like Sue in the Field Museum, when you have a near priceless 600-pound fragile skull, you don't want to stick it on a pole 20 feet off the ground. You'd rather take a cast of it, again, a copy, and put that on the mount rather than the skull itself. And Sue's skull was in so many pieces that had to be reassembled anyway. It's too fragile to mount on the mount itself. That's what they were referencing.
Your mic, James. We can't hear you. You're muted.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that. And I'm sorry, Wilson says, I bet James thinks Eric Dubai is dumb too. I don't know the fellow, but based on Trevor, I'm not sure about this fellow. And let's see, Fox Mulder, thanks for your question, said, stop believing the lies, Trevor. Your ego is disgusting. They say, you've got a critic here, Trevor. They say, stop believing the lies.
I'm sorry I make you jealous, simply because I actually have a concept of this topic.
Next up, thanks for your question, Twood Wazzle. Oh, no, that was the bone burner. Next up, thanks for your question. This is from Jamie Russell, who says, for Trevor, Triceratops equals Torosaurus? Same species?
No. So here's something you can learn, Alex.
Is it dino fraud? More dino fraud?
You're going to call it fraud because you don't know how science works.
Let me tell me about it, please. I'm interested. I love to hear the dino fraud.
So a Triceratops is, you know, three-horned face. It's the Ceratopsian, the vegetarian dino we know by its teeth, that has the three horns and the frill on its back. Torosaurus is also a horned dinosaur or Ceratopsian. And there's one... maybe two paleontologists out there that are saying that Torosaurus is the adult Torosaurus is the adult Triceratops. That's because we have found, not because it's fraud, but because we've done more research and found more examples of it. There are dinosaurs that are growth stages of the same species, like Pachycephalosaurus and Dracorex and stuff like that. It turns out that the small spiky-headed one and the not really spiky but more dome-headed one are actually the same species in different stages of growth. So naturally, these same paleontologists decided to go throughout and they saw that the Torosaurus was large and kind of shaped like a Triceratops. But the problem with that is we have found juvenile and young adult Torosauruses, and we've found juvenile, young adult, and adult Triceratops, and their areas don't exactly overlap. So no, Torosaurus is not a adult Triceratops. Triceratops horridus is its own thing, and Torosaurus is its own thing. There's a whole bunch of different ceratopsians, Diabloceratops, Utahceratops, which I actually helped excavate. There's so many I just kind of lock up when I start thinking about them. But ceratopsians, there's a whole lot of them. My personal favorite is Styracosaurus and Pentaceratops. They're really huge, either spiky or really, really big frills. But again, no, Torosaurus is not a Triceratops.
Gotcha. And thanks for that. That's really interesting. And rodent last name. Oh, you've got a critic here, Alex. They say, Alex, do you grift for a living or only as a hobby?
No answer.
Nice. All right, next. Thanks for your question. Daver says, elephants can't be any larger than they are. The skeletal structure won't support any larger. So then how can a dinosaur twice the size of an elephant exist without collapsing on its own weight?
He's trying to talk about the square cube law, which is actually really, really good. The thing with elephants and mammoths and all that, that's not as large as an elephant can get. That's as large as that species can get, but there were much larger mammoths, like the steppe mammoth. Than that during the Ice Age. Steppe mammoth, I think, is, don't quote me, maybe a million years, million and a half, 1.3 maybe. The thing with that is why are they larger? I mean, for example, like a tyrannosaur, you're talking like 40, 42 feet long, 7 to 9 tons. Well, their bones were hollow. So you don't have the weight of a mammalian bone, for example, like on a mammoth or an elephant. If your bones are hollow, not like there's a complete hole in them. It's not like hollow, but they have honeycomb structure like modern birds, because birds are dinosaurs. With that, as long as you have a large enough area for muscle attachments, your bones are not incredibly heavy and all, you can get very, very, very large. Look at whales, for example. Whales, they're buoyant, and the blue whale is the largest animal to exist, period. They have a heart the size of a 1979 Volkswagen Super Beetle. I mean, they're huge. But the square cube law is sometimes misinterpreted on that. Dinosaurs absolutely could be that large simply because their anatomy allows it.
Super interesting. Thanks so much. And Rodent, no last name, says, Trevor, you got, let's see, what does this say? I don't know what crits is. Is this a slang that the young kids use? They say, Trevor, you got +5 intelligence, +3 to charisma, and are rolling naturally 20 crits tonight.
That's a D&D reference. Rolling a crit, for example, I've got a die right here. Rolling a crit is rolling a 20 on a 20-sided die to hit.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, usually crits.
Since you play Dungeons & Dragons, you're into paleontology, so you love it. You really love dragons. That makes sense. You have a really creative mind.
Well, that's because dragons...
I do want to hear you defining crits, Alex. Hold on a second.
Yeah, dragons are just dinosaurs being described by an ancient civilization. That's all what a dragon is. So yeah, but the thing is, I wasn't into dinosaurs when I was a kid. I wanted to fly the space shuttle. I fell into paleontology, man. Yeah, I didn't, paleontology chose me. I didn't choose it. So your whole thing of like, you know, in it for the money. Yeah, that doesn't pan out.
Well, we know you don't have any money. You can't pay your car.
We do have to move on to the next one. We do have a lot of other questions.
Whatever happened with that car?
Hold on a second. Simmer down over there. I'm sorry, Wilson. Thanks for your question. They're complimenting. You know, we might have a nice one for you, Alex. I mean, I don't know. It's theoretically possible. We have, I'm sorry, Wilson. Thanks for your question. Says, don't move. Alex can't see you if you don't move. Thanks. Nice Jurassic Park.
See, that's my question is, how can you tell me how a dinosaur sees that if you move, it can only see if you move, but yet you can't tell me the color of its eye. You can tell me how the eye works, that you can't tell me it's the color of it. That's how you know it's a fraud, Trevor. It's all fake.
Because we can take a cast of its brain cavity and see the size of its visual cortex. But
you can tell its visual cortex from the cast.
Alex, I want to hear the full answer before we interrupt.
It's easy. When you have a hole in the skull where your brain is. And I actually just recently got an MRI and a series of scans and all that because yay, brain cancer. But when you take a cast of the interior of a skull, you can actually see, you won't necessarily get like all the folds and everything of the brain, but you can see, shut up. You can see where all of the different parts of the brain are, for example, like the hippocampus, the visual cortex, prefrontal lobes, all of that. If you actually did take a semester of pre-med, you should know all this. So you can see how large the visual cortex would be. You can see where the channels for the optic nerve would be and how large they are.
How do you tell the visual cortex from the amygdala from the left side?
Hold on, we have other questions, Alex. So we do, we had the conversation. We do have other questions from the audience that I do want to quick get to yet. I can't help it.
We can tell how big a visual cortex is and what that would do and how it would function. But what color the eyes are, you keep going back to this.
Because like, you don't know it. Because you don't know it yet.
Because eyes don't fossilize, you dumbass.
You're telling me you know everything about
the you heard a response,
brain,
Trevor.
You
we
can't
don't
tell
have,
me if it has blue eyes.
Alex,
you're
alive. We don't have time to go into another discussion. We do have other questions. I do have to ask, as you mentioned it, like, do you know the results of, like, are you currently going to the doctor for potential brain cancer?
Thankfully, thanks to friends, I have re-upped my insurance and, I think scheduled for January. I almost said July, January for the biopsy and the tree panning, which is really funny. I've always wanted to, you know, go through tree panning, which is, drilling a hole in one's skull. I think that's happening in January. I've got one more series of scans for that. And in a completely unrelated note, like my insurance dropped me and all that thanks to COVID. And yeah, that's a whole lot of fun. So my friends set me up, much to my chagrin, actually. I didn't want them to do it, but they did it anyway. They set me up with a GoFundMe that's going okay. I think we're like halfway there. Haven't looked at it in a while.
Yeah. I don't know. Forgive me if I don't mean to like put you on the spot, but folks, I'm going to look for that GoFundMe link so I can put it in the description, as I hope you don't mind me doing that, Trevor. I know you didn't ask for it, but it's something
it's okay. If you want to do that, go for it. I think I have a link for it on my Twitter.
I'm already typing it in just because we do want that. And that's one thing as a reminder, folks, is that we hope you consider going to this GoFundMe link. And as I promise, I will go there after this debate to be able to give my a gift of, well, both of thanks for coming on and also just a general gift of.
And I'm telling you, you really don't have to. It's not something that I was aiming for. I have a very small core group of friends that were sick of me refusing any kind of help because I'm just not that kind of guy. And they set it up anyway and set me up all that. And I'm just kind of like, all right, fine.
I had no idea. What we were going to do is we will donate 100% of the super chats from tonight's debate to your GoFundMe.
No, I'm dead serious.
So folks, hold us to that. We want to be accountable.
James. I'll hold you to it. We want to be able to pay for that hole they're about to put in your brain. I want to be able to make sure it gets paid for.
We will. I'm dead serious about that. So folks, you can hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. We just lost Alex. Did Alex just, I don't know if his connection just went out, but I know you're not asking it. You're not asking for it. Quit. I'm dead serious about that. And folks, I would suggest at this point, we don't have a lot of time for extra questions. And basically I would suggest, I'm going to put that link for the GoFundMe.
There he is.
Okay.
I didn't mean to leave. I tried to change the browser and I exited. Sorry.
But I'm putting the link in the chat right now. And so sorry, Trevor, if this is like Just please allow me. So what I'm doing, I'm putting
it's your YouTube channel.
Thanks for your patience with me. And so basically I'm putting it both in the live chat right now and in the description. And so I want you folks,
live chat.
Please do, folks, go to this GoFundMe, and we're going to wrap up shortly. We've got a few questions yet, but like I said, we are going to give 100% of the Super Chats from tonight. And so we do check on the donors list for accountability purposes. You can always ask us for receipts on donations, folks in the audience, because and speakers too, like, because we do want to have like full transparency. If we say we're going to do something, then we obviously have to do it. And we have to be open to people asking like, hey, can I see the receipt? It's like, yeah, like even if it's your first time here. So that link to GoFundMe is in the description, folks. And thanks so much. What I'm going to do is read.
I appreciate that, but thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Well, Modern Day Debate is here for you. And so, I hope that everything goes smooth with the treatment. I'm glad your friends have pulled together and taken action for you. So that's it sounds like you've got great friends. And so we hope it's going smooth. And I will jump to the next question. So this one comes in from... Got all these. We do have Shannon Q says, tell Trevor. I'm not making this up. This is actually like Shannon Q. I only say that because of the timing. Shannon Q says,
the senators.
Tell Trevor, I love him, please. Thanks for that, Shannon. And Tioga, who says, I love Trevor too. So you've got support out there. And that was even before mentioning the GoFundMe or anything. So
Shannon Q is a great person, I have to say, even though she has horrible taste in hockey teams.
That doesn't surprise me. So, but she's been a huge help to us. So we do really appreciate Shannon. And so, Igwe Himawari, let me find out if I mispronounced that, says, Trevor, does paleontology have any predictive power or general utility for the foreseeable future of the human species?
No, because paleontology, we like to say that paleontologists don't dig people. That would be anthropology. But no, paleontology, while we can use things like paleoclimatology and things like that to get an idea of how the Earth reacted in the past and how things like the Chicxulub impactor, damaged the planet and things like that, the only thing we use for any kind of predictive ability, which makes it a hard science, much to creationist chagrin, is we look at different animals throughout the fossil record and try and figure out where a transitive species would be in the middle of it. That's, for example, how we found Tiktaalik. We're like, okay, there are lobed fin fishes here, and there are things walking on Earth on land here. So if you look right here, we should find, oh, look, there's Tiktaalik. But we don't make any predictions or anything for humans in the future. We like to say that learning about the history creates keys that open doors of the future, but that's mainly to figure out like how animal evolution will happen, or how the climate will shift, or how it is, or looking at the history of the climate and seeing how we're impacting it so greatly. That's what we do, but we don't make calls with humans. It's not our gig.
Gotcha. And so, folks, I thanks so much for all of those super chats. Like I said, we will make good on that promise. Want to encourage you. I have put pinned the GoFundMe link so you can give directly to GoFundMe. That's in the live chat right now. We don't have enough time to read. We're going to try to read through as many of these as quick as we can, just because we do want to respect the time of the debaters. So let me keep moving through. This one comes in from...
I've just got a dragon miniature to paint, that's all.
You got it. And then cool. Mike Billar says, good point, Alex. How do we in fact know that Sue's name is actually Sue? Artist interpretation. Fraud.
Oh my God. Sue was named after the discoverer.
I just
want to ask this question, Trevor. Hold on one second.
Alex, for real, we do want to respect time. Like, it's already, we're on close to an hour and a half, and so I do really want to get through this quick.
Well, it's just a quick question.
I don't want guys to be here all night. So
just go ahead.
Let's give Trevor an answer or a chance to give an answer.
Well, no, Sue's just named after the discoverer. That's what Sue's name is. The person that finds it usually gets to name it, or the person that describes it gets to name it binomially, anything like that. Sue is just a placeholder name for a Tyrannosaurus Rex specimen of a currently unknown gender. Was thought to be female, maybe male, not entirely sure. We're just calling it Sue.
Gotcha. Thanks so much. And next up, thanks so much for your question. This one comes in from, Tioga, who says, Alex, is the tie real or a clip-on?
It's real.
Next, Stripper Liquor says, for Trevor, respect for Alex, loosen your tie, young man. And then thanks for your question from,
polos, man. It's wave of the future.
Next, I'm wearing a hockey jersey, Trevor. I wanted you to wear the hockey jersey.
No, people in your chat wanted me to wear a hockey jersey, and they wanted you to make fun of me wearing a hockey jersey.
I like sports. You can like sports. I don't care if you like sports.
You don't like sports. You like the Cowboys.
I know. They suck dick. I agree with that. They suck. Don't even get me started, Trevor. They suck.
Next up, thanks for your question. This one comes in from Kotu Metal. It says, for Alex, do you believe every non-dinosaur fossil is fake too? Which fossils, if any, do you believe are real?
No, it's just for me, basically what it comes down to is I get that there's these old bones, but it's like even if you look at the T-Rex skeleton without the long legs, it basically looks like a huge long iguana, basically. So, yes, I get that there's iguanas today, and these are ancient creatures, but that they're 65 million years old. Any sort of radiometric dating, all metric dating, all of that technology for me is inaccurate, because when they send off these bones, if they don't specify that they're dinosaur bones, they've come back and they've only dated them at 10,000 and 12,000 years old. And people have actually gotten in trouble for not labeling these samples when they send it to a lab as dinosaur bones.
Young Earth creationists attempted to do that, specifically the RATE team. And they sent them to be carbon dated, knowing that they would come back with a fraudulent number. They did not send them to be uranium dated or strontium dated or rubidium dated or argon dated. They specifically sent them to be carbon dated, which would kick back an incorrect number. Same with your whole lava thing from Mount St. Helens. That's a known fraudulent tactic of the RATE team of the of the Creation Science Museum and all that. So
hold on, Alex. I do want to. I want to give you a chance to answer the question, Alex. Namely, the which fossils, if any, do you believe are real? We've got to move on to the next question.
I believe some bones are real, but if you find some T-Rex skull, there's only 15 of them. Sue, I don't necessarily believe is real, in my opinion. And each individual dinosaur, I don't know every single dinosaur. I don't have to. I just know that it's a fraud and that how they present it to us is artistic interpretation.
Next up,
I don't know that X-Car sucks, but my friend told me that X-Car.
Keep running, guys. I hate to do this to you. Forgive me. Blade Runner 0001 says, for the actual knowledge from Trevor, Alex, and then Alex, please stop. Okay, next. Rodent, no last name, says, Alex, your argument would be more compelling if you wore a lab coat. Alex, can you start wearing a lab coat? Kent Hovind, Alex's dad, actually wears
a lab coat.
Yeah, he does in his stream. So next up, Jamie Russell says Godspeed, and Standalone says for Trevor, and Malog Hoxha says all power to Trevor, and Brandon Ardeline says, James, did you screen these chat participants? That's just an old inside joke from Darth Dawkins, who used to ask me that. Let me just be sure that I've got every question. So I want to say thanks so much, folks. That GoFundMe for Trevor is in the live chat. And so it's pinned at the very top. And I highly encourage you to make a trip on over there. And then we have another, Jaronism. Thanks for your question. Says why? You probably know who Jaronism is. Okay.
Yeah,
says,
yeah, he's famously been debunked as a flat earther. Yeah. Hey, how's that? How's that that laser experiment and this and the spotlight experiment going, bud? Yeah, thought so. What did he say?
He says, "Why do dino bones come back as 8 through 12K years?" Or I think they're saying he's saying, "Why do dinosaur bones come back as 8,000 to 12,000 years old when carbon dated?" And don't say we can't carbon date dino bones. They are too old. That's presupposing the outcome.
That's because when you carbon date a dinosaur bone, you're actually getting the background carbon radiation. So it kicks off and creates a faulty date code. What I would like, you know, go ahead, take something like a, take anything that would be carbon dated, like this mammoth tooth, and give it some argon-argon dating or argon-lead dating or, you know, rubium-strontium dating or any of the other 30-odd radiometric dating, and it will kick back some fucked up, screwed up kind of date code because there's no carbon. No, not because it's unreliable.
because it's unreliable. Alex, I do want to give him a chance to actually answer the question from Jaronism.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because Jaronism, you and the other grifters and the young earth creationists knowingly send material that does not have enough carbon in it to be carbon dated, and it kicks back with these young ages. That's why this is a known young earth creationist trope that you guys do. So that's the thing. Like, all of your attempts at trying to refute actual science, you all fall flat on your faces.
How did that fall flat?
Hold on one second. We do have to. I hate to do this, Alex, but we do have a lot of questions. We do have to keep moving. We did have that. Yeah, that open conversation for you guys. Next, thanks for your question. This one comes in from Tim, New Jersey Devil. Says, "Hey Trevor, why no hockey apparel tonight?"
Didn't feel like it. Alex's crew, his like 60 odd people in his pre-show, a couple of them were like, "Oh, I hope he wears a jersey. You should make fun of his hockey jerseys." So I decided to, you know, shove my hand up their ass and wear a polo shirt tonight. However, I was going to wear my Geeky Jerseys V for Vendetta jersey.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it's a great jersey. But no, I just decided not to. Because, you know, why give people what they want when I can do the opposite?
That's right. Next up, thanks for your question. This one comes from Rick's World. It says, "Science is fact-based, doesn't care what we believe."
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Absolutely correct.
Lily Aja says, "Mauled more. This is for Trevor and science." Thanks so much for that, Lily Aja. And let me just double check that we got all of them. I think that is all of them. But just in case anything came in. Yeah, so we're all set with that. I want to say thanks so much, everybody, for your questions for that Q&A. And thank you so much to our guests. It's been a true pleasure. Trevor and Alex, we really appreciate you guys coming on. They're both linked in the description, folks, as well. So that way, if you want to send a friendly tweet to Trevor, or let's see, you if you want to leave a comment, a friendly comment, hopefully, too. I know that you guys, I know... everybody out there, I know it's like we host controversial topics sometimes. I mean, this compared to some of the political topics is almost, you know, it's like we have a range of controversial topics. We hope that everybody does feel welcome no matter what walk of life you're from. We hope you try to be charitable in considering, you know, the different sides that are out there. And so we do hope, though, you feel welcome no matter what walk of life you're from. As mentioned, both of our guests are linked in the description. So I encourage you to check that out and want to say one last thanks to our guests, Alex and Trevor.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Alex, nice attempt. And have fun ripping me apart in your post show.
Well, I don't want to rip you apart. You're going through some health issues, so I really wish you the best.
That doesn't
Trevor.
Matter. That doesn't change who I am. I'm still an asshole.
Well, come yeah, on. But I don't want you to be sick. I want you to make it. I think you're a good guy. And I know you believe all this fake stuff because you've dedicated your life to it. But it's like there's a lot of stuff you can dedicate time to. I love you. Please follow a Conspiracy Castle. I love you, Trevor. I love
please
you.
Give me clicks.
Hey, let's play Dungeons & Dragons together sometime. That's not going to be fun.
You couldn't handle my campaigns.
I bet you would beat me.
The battle that will last forever. Want to say thank you. All right, that's enough. We ought to say keep sifting out the reasonable from the unreasonable, folks. Take care, and that's all.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.